Thank you, Lord. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Living in hope. Living in hope. 1 Corinthians 15. How many have hope this morning? The Kenai Peninsula has hope. It's a little town on the way to Anchorage. Hallelujah. We have hope this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. All right. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. We have hope today. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Everybody say no hope. Okay, we have hope. Everybody say no hope. But we have hope. So we're not going to sorrow as others. So there are people in this world that have no hope. Continuing on. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain, that's you and I. Did anybody take off at 6 o'clock yesterday? I received a text at 6:01 from Brother Sparks that said, I just read an article that atheists have released helium human-shaped balloons. I don't know where or what country or whatever, but in some mocking fashion of the rapture. We have a hope, a real hope today. This is not a hoax. Just because we actually believe the scripture that says that no man knows the day nor the hour doesn't mean that we don't have hope. We have a real hope today. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Glory to God. There's just some scriptures that just automatically preach. You don't even have to Don't even have to try. The word will go forth. This brings hope. This brings life. This brings excitement into a Christian's heart, into a Christian's life. If you believe this, it gives hope. Amen. Romans 8:11 is our focus verse this morning. And I'll try to teach and not preach this morning. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thank you, Lord. Our focus thought this morning, the hope of the church is the return of Jesus Christ to receive His bride. That's our hope. That's our hope. Do you have hope this morning? Do you wake up in the morning and have hope? Do you lose your job and have hope? Do you look at your bank account and have hope? Do you look at your children and have hope? We have hope. No matter what the situations in our life are, no matter how it looks to us, we have a constant hope that we can look towards as Christians and fulfilling the gospel in our lives. We have hope that Jesus Christ will return one day for His bride. Hallelujah. That is our hope. There's an article written in March of 2010, The Nation of Scotland, and I'm sure that the epidemic was not just there. But the article was written about methadone. The article title was, "Methadone is a noose around my neck." In the article, it tackles the epidemic use of methadone to assist individuals who are addicted to heroin. Trading drug for drug. What does methadone do? Sedates. Numbs. Zombifies. Does it give hope? Is it possible for someone who is sedated to feel joyful and hopeful about their next moments? That was the treatment. Sedation. It was a treatment, not a cure. In the article, it said the people were coming to this cold turkey. There was the lady actually was having people come, and she was helping them through this, and actually helping them quit cold turkey and going through that process of an addict getting off of these drugs. And I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's not pretty, and it requires a lot of effort, a lot of help. But people were going there in complete despair after being on methadone for years. No longer on heroin, but now just living in this haze. Still completely unhappy, with no hope, and needing to come off of the methadone. And when they would go report it to their doctors would give them more methadone. Well, they're not. The treatment's not working. We need to give them more methadone in order for them to cope with them being on methadone. It wasn't making any sense. It would just up the dose. And she said, the worst thing about it is I see a generation that is left without hope. Left without hope. This is as good as it's going to get. As good as it's going to get. It is that sense of hopelessness that entices some people to experiment with narcotics, which throws them into an even deeper state of hopelessness. It's exactly what happens. Searching for something to give hope. It doesn't have to be narcotics. It doesn't have to be anything really big that everybody knows about that's really horrible. But people search for things that will bring hope. The next vacation. And we all need that next vacation. We all need that next break. But if that's all we live for, what is our hope? Well, this car is getting old and starting to rust a little, and my hope is now in a new car. I do everything, my whole purpose, my job, my extra money, everything that I do goes into the bank, and we're going to have a good down payment on this. That's my hope. And then you buy the new car, and the hopelessness sets in every month about the same time when the car payment comes in. And then you back into a fire hydrant, and you dent the back bumper. And you leave it outside all winter and don't wash it, and the rust comes just like the old car. And somebody drops a 2x4 on the side of the front fender, and it's just never the same. Right? Everything in this life that we hope for is not really hope. All of it, when it comes down to it, is just hopelessness. Houses will corrode and fall down, break apart. Cars are not going to last beyond the warranty. It's not going to happen. That new boat that you're looking at, it's not going to fulfill every hope and desire that you have. Things in this life are temporal, and they don't give much hope at all, if any. And if any, it's very short-lived. And that's what people do in this life. Hope is needed to live. Hope is needed to survive. You cannot live life without hope. I have no idea what the suicide rate is in this state, but it's pretty high. It's because kids and adults have no hope. No hope. And you can't live without hope. We need hope. And we have hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This world needs the hope that is only available through Jesus Christ. Through the new birth, water, and the Spirit, we have hope. Salvation through Christ and His return. Not just believing that He is, but believing that He is coming again is our hope. Hallelujah. That is our only hope in this world. And we do not have, we don't have to be left without hope. We have an option today. We have an option for hope. This world has an option for hope. Transparency one. Faith is in the activity that allows the seed to spring to life and bear fruit. I'm just going to leave this up while I go through this next section. Preserve the seeds of hope. Without them, there will be no harvest. Just leave that up. Hope is different from faith. We intertwine the two because they are so closely related. It's like two sides of the same coin. Both hope and faith are eternal. Hope is like the seed. Someone discovered seeds in an Egyptian tomb. And like any curious fellow, planted the seeds found in the Egyptian tomb, and they produced. Hope is like a seed. Hope is like a seed. Seeds contain a hope of life. You're holding a popcorn kernel in your hand. Now, the popcorn kernels of today, I don't know. They've been processed in some way that they won't produce. I've never tried. That's the kernel. Right? You would think there's life in that. Put it in the microwave. You'll see how much life is in there. No. It'll pop and scare you half to death. But that seed contains the hope of life. The hope of life. Now, here's the opposite side of the coin. Faith causes the person to plant, to water, and harvest the seed. So hope is the seed of life, while faith causes a person to plant, water, and harvest. Faith without works is dead. Takes a little bit of effort to take the seed. If I left a seed on the platform and just left it here, it has all kinds of potential. There's life in that seed. It could feed nations. One seed. Planet, how many seeds will come off of that? I don't know. A few hundred, maybe. From the plant that, whatever plant that comes up. If it's a corn stalk, how many ears are on a corn stalk? How many seeds or kernels are on each corn? Plant those again. Multiply it again. One seed could feed nations. But sitting here, it does nothing. So hope and faith are intertwined. Hope is like the seed, and our faith is taking that seed and doing something with it. Putting it in the ground, watering it, caring for it, and gathering and using what it produces. All right. So hope is in the seed, but faith is the activity that allows the seed to spring to life, multiply, and bring profit. Disasters can destroy equipment, deplete the budget, and demolish the harvest, but a true farmer knows that he should never deplete the seed supply. Don't ever lose hope. Don't deplete the seed supply. Hope is the last thing lost. We can lose absolutely everything. People in Katrina lost absolutely everything. many survived and thrived after, and to this day are doing well, even though they lost absolutely everything. But they didn't lose hope. Those that lost everything and lost hope lost it all. Never recovered. Never recovered. Hope is the last thing lost. To use all of the seed is to remove all hope. Talking about a farmer, this little story. A farmer stood with his wife and son looking at the dried, sun-scorched fields with shriveled, immature crops from a drought. They had hoped to pay the mortgage on the farm, buy a new tractor. Instead, they faced loss, despair, and hunger. While the father voiced concern for daily survival, the son replied, "But Dad, we have food. It's in the barn. There are bags of wheat and corn for making bread and beans and making soup. And we can eat that." The father looked at his son with sad eyes and said, "That seed is for next spring, the next sowing, the next harvest, and our future in farming. We dare not use it for daily food. If we eat that seed, I have to give up farming and find a new career." The hope was in the bags of seed still in the barn, not in the weather, the farmer's expertise, or the fertility of the field. Any farmer could take the seed bag and sow a new harvest. This farmer's hope was not in a new career, but it was in the bag of seed. The hope of the saints, this is where it's exciting, and I'll try not to preach through this section. A blessed hope. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a blessed hope to see the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our salvation, is one of the most cherished hopes in this world. A genuine love for God conceives a joyful experience. And if you don't believe that this morning, every time a scripture is mentioned and read this morning, they're not excited about me. You guys aren't excited about me teaching this morning. I can see that all over your faces. You're excited about the hope in the Word of God that it says, looking for that blessed hope. Every time we've read a scripture today that's talked about the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, there's an excitement that rises in us. Why? Because we have a genuine love for God, and it will conceive a joyful expectation. That's exactly what it does, and that's exactly what it's doing. Hallelujah. Awesome. Thank you for proving my point this morning. No amount of effort, sacrifice, dedication, or service can manufacture that feeling. You can run around this church all you want, jump up and down all you want. If you do not have a genuine love for God, you won't have that joyful expectation of His return. Why would you care? But we know it, and we believe it. We want to see it, and we have joyful expectation of His coming. That blessed hope. Hallelujah. The second one is a comforting hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. This past week or two, we lost a young person, one that we cared for. We didn't know him really, really well, but what we knew of him was that he loved God. He had a passion for missions, beautifully talented. Chase will be missed. But in all of the comments that were posted on friends and family, on Facebook and emails and texts, it was all about hope. We have a hope. Chase had a hope. We can comfort one another with that hope. We shall see him. We will be together in the air. We will meet with Jesus Christ in the clouds. Hallelujah. There is hope, and we can comfort one another with these words. These times are never easy. Never easy. Never easy. We need to continue to keep the Huffmans in our prayers. It's never, never easy. But all of the stuff that we worry about are our needs. We were talking about that with a few people. We're worried about our needs after we lose somebody. It's all about comforting us and how we're feeling. And they're in a better place. And no matter how much we would want them to come back, they would want to come back. So we have this hope, and we can use that hope to comfort us in times of loss. It is a comforting hope. And also, people do not intentionally seek after heartaches. I don't know if you know anybody that intentionally seeks after heartache and sorrow. Some people thrive on that. It's an attention getter, right? But when it boiled right down to it, they really don't want trouble in their life. They just want the attention that it gets them, right? So people don't intentionally seek after heartache and sorrow, but disappointments, disabilities, and discord happen in spite of, and this is important for all of us faithful believers, in spite of faithfulness, loyalty, and devotion. Rain falls on the just and the unjust, and mostly on that side of the Scout Lake Loop. But, so, we have all of these wonderful, wonderful things of life that happen to us, whether we have all of these we have disappointments and disabilities and discord and problems and upset and loss, all of these things, no matter if we are faithful, loyal, devoted, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter our state in this life. It doesn't matter if we're believers or non-believers. We have all of these wonderful things because we're human beings and we live in this wonderful earth that sustains us and beats us up constantly. But that's just part of life. Welcome to life. A comment was always made to us when we were first starting out in ministry, and we hated it, but it was every time there'd be like problems, massive problems in your life, and everything's going wrong, and you didn't know what to do. The comment was said, well, welcome to the ministry. That's not what I want to hear right now. I want to hear, this is how you solve this problem. Just go punch them right in the nose and deal with the situation. And no, it was welcome to the ministry. Well, today, welcome to life. Welcome to life. Because we're going to have good days, we're going to have bad days. But the constant is the hope. the hope of Christ's glorious appearing. Hallelujah. That's the hope. That's the constant. No matter what is going on, good or bad, we have a hope. And there's comfort in that hope. We sing songs around here like, "Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens or bills to bear." You guys never sang it that way? Hallelujah. We have hope. We'll understand it better. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome. And we'll understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. Songs that bring comfort and hope because of that great hope that we have in Christ's glorious appearing. Hallelujah. It's a lively hope. Did you know that? I didn't know that. It's a lively hope. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The lively hope, or the living hope, is the living Christ. The living Christ. Hallelujah. We would have a dead hope if we served a dead God. But we have a living hope because we serve a living God. Hallelujah. Something exciting about that. Believers do not place their hope simply in a historical event, but in a Lord who transcends all history and time. Jesus is alive today. Glory to God. It is a purifying hope. A purifying hope. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This hope that we have, if we truly believe what we say we believe, and we truly have the hope that we say we have, we will purify ourselves. It is a purifying hope. Search me, O God. I don't want anything in me that is not like you, that is unacceptable to you, not pleasing to you, because my hope is in the rapture of this church, and I don't want anything to hold me back. Hallelujah. I don't want anything to hold me back from making the rapture. It is a purifying hope. Sinners are without help in a hopeless world. They cannot save themselves. Their only hope exists in the salvation provided through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we all say amen. Amen. Sinners are lost, and they can't save themselves. We believe that. Believers can't save themselves. Did you know that? You can believe all you want. You can be as good all you want. Believers cannot save themselves. Their hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Sounds awfully similar to the sinner. We better be careful about the pedestal we may put ourselves on as believers. I'm saved. Careful. It takes the same Jesus to save the sinners it takes to save you. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Hallelujah. I want to be a child of the King. I want to experience the new birth and become His child. I want it to be something that I yearn for, desire. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to have the hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. I want to be a child of the King. As His children, we bear His likeness and we experience spiritual adoption. Thank you, Lord. We become His. We become His. And by becoming His, we have hope. We have hope. Hope of the resurrection, transparency 2 this morning. And I am winding down. Transparency 2. Christ's resurrection is the basis of our hope. Our acts of faith stem from this hope. First Corinthians 15:12 through 20. Interesting. Hard to read, but interesting. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Anybody lost and confused yet? Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, or if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Basically, what he's saying is that Christ did rise from the dead, and because of that, those that are asleep have hope. If Christ raised from the dead, they also will rise, and also we can have the hope of resurrection. Amen? Christ's resurrection is the basis. His resurrection gives believers a glorious hope that they too can take part in His resurrection. Our new birth brings the hope not only of changed hearts and minds and souls, but also of a changed body and existence. This old flesh, and I know I don't look that old, but there are mornings that I feel I'm starting to get to that age where people are snickering at me because I look so young. But getting to that age in the morning after a hard day's work where I don't want to roll out of bed, and when I do, knees are aching, feet are throbbing, head is pounding, arms are sore. That's just life. Welcome to life. Right? But this old body is very temporal. But we have a hope of something greater. Hallelujah. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have hope that this body will be changed. Hallelujah. Faith prompts us to value and nurture this eternal hope. And pray that we don't go days and days without thinking of our hope. We don't go from Sunday to Sunday and not think of the hope that we have. And oh, well, the preacher brought it up and preached a good message on hope and preached a good message on the rapture. And that was exciting. And maybe he'll preach one again in about 6 months, and I'll think about the rapture then, and I'll think about my great hope. And, you know, we get all excited about it, but do we live in that hope every day? Come, Lord Jesus. Do we live in that hope every day? Our faith reacts to our hope and empowers us to perform acts of faith. When we go lay our hands on somebody that has come to the altar. Why? They need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They need their sins washed away. What is us walking up to them and slapping them in the forehead doing? Besides possibly causing a headache. What are we doing? We are acting on a hope that we have. And by faith praying that they too can have that same hope. Faith reacts to our hope. If we didn't have hope and we didn't believe that we were going to be raptured with Jesus Christ in the sky, and we did not believe that, we did not have hope in our life, why would we want to impart that or tell others about this hope if we don't have it ourselves? Our faith reacts to our hope and empowers us to perform acts of faith. Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, brought forth new life, came back to life. Jesus, in his ministry, brought others back to life. He brought healings. Faith reacts to our hope and empowers us to perform acts of faith based on his resurrection. Based on what he did, I have the hope that this little corruptible body can become incorruptible. And we can do great things here. We can do great things here because of our faith and our hope. Hope in Christ transcends death. We talked a little bit about this earlier. Sadness transitions. Transitions in life. We lose people. Have you ever noticed religions that have great, great leaders seem to thrive while that leader is in alive and in power and is doing all of the teaching? And then the leader passes on. Denominations founded on the novel teachings of a masterful teacher recite their interpretations of their teacher's words, their meanings and intentions. And from that group, the original group under that masterful teacher, sects and divisions and splinter groups find a new point of dogma and give it an intensity that may last a generation or two. And you have splitting and fracturing and different ones believing stronger in certain areas from that masterful teacher. This fracturing of a journey in faith reflects a false hope in human understanding. In human understanding. When that master or when that teacher is no longer with them, it starts to fracture and divide. And new ideas and new visions and new growth in different areas and new ideas. And how many denominations are there in this world today? Many with dead masters. Having false hope in human understanding. Paul said, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. The hope in their leaders, in their teachers, in their conviction becomes a substitute for the real foundation of their faith. Christ's resurrection provides a hope that transcends death. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ resurrected, we don't have a dead master. We don't have a dead teacher. We hold fast to the truths of the Word of God because we put all of our hope and our faith in our risen Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Death has lost its sting. Death has lost its sting. The old joke about the only things certain in life are death and taxes. Amen. Reflects the temporal aspect of our existence. We're not here forever. Thank the Lord. We're not here forever. And because our hope is out of this world, the things of this world don't hold as much sting and pain. Because our hope is not in this world. We don't put our hope and trust in the things of this world. We have not put everything else aside and put all of our hope into our president. Do we respect the president of our country? Yes. It's the president of our country. Do we like him? I don't know. Do we care for everything that happens in Washington? No. Do we put all of our faith and hope? If we did, we would be men most miserable. Right? It goes for, do you put all in your job? Do you put all your hope and trust and faith in your boss? If you do, your job is going to be miserable. Because humans will let you down. Do we put all of our hope and faith and trust in our pastor? Oh. We all would nod quietly, yeah. But in reality, we're all human. And we have sometimes, most of the time, without even thinking about it, can let you down and fail you. A lot of times when we don't even know that we failed. Right? We're oblivious to the fact that your life is shattered because we didn't do something that we didn't know we were supposed to do. But that's how it is. People put faith and trust in leadership, and they put faith and trust in human beings, and it will always, always turn out bad. Your life will be shattered and crushed because your hope was put in man. Man is so imperfect. We have something to put our hope in today, and that is Jesus Christ and his return for the church. Glory to God. Glory to God. This mortal human body shall put on immortality. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Christ's return for his church. He will come again. We have that hope. Let's stand this morning. We have that hope. We have the hope that he is a living Savior. He is the living God. Jesus Christ is alive and well today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 71:5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Help us today to continue to have hope in our everyday walk with God, that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and that he is returning for his bride. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's love him and thank him for that this morning.